Praise all in Jesus' name this morning. For a text, you may turn to Hebrews chapter 13. And I read these verses the other morning, and it raised a question in my mind, and I decided that that would be the sermon for this morning. Hebrews 13, verses 15 and 16. By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice of praise to God continually, that is, the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. But to do good and to communicate, forget not. For with such sacrifices, God is well pleased. And the title for this morning's message is The Sacrifice of Communication. The Sacrifice of Communication. And I thought, is communication a sacrifice? Is it? It says God will be well pleased with our sacrifice of communication. And well pleased, well means to be fully gratified, fully satisfied. We bring God satisfaction when we sacrifice through communication. And the book of Hebrews was written to the Jews to help them understand what place Jesus took or was taking in their lives. And they were raised with sacrifices. And I'm sure they understood sacrificing more than we ever will because of what they did. They offered sacrifices for their sins. They offered sacrifices of thankfulness, sacrifices of harvest, sacrifices of praise. The dictionary says that to sacrifice is an act of slaughtering an animal or person or surrendering a possession as an offering to a deity, an act of giving up something valued for the sake of something else regarded as more important or worthy. And do we sacrifice at all today? There's games where they sacrifice, like the game of chess, where you will sacrifice a pawn in order to let a bishop or a rook move more freely. You give up a small piece in order to gain access or freedom in some other area. In baseball, they may have a sacrifice bunt or hit in order so that the next player can advance. You give up something in order to gain something else. What are we giving up in order to gain something of more value? You know, somewhere God instructed Adam and his family on sacrificing, and we don't have that recorded. Where those instructions are. But you could say that those people were sacrificing in order to show their relationship with God, to communicate with God. And even today, we may be sacrificing or giving up what we have so that we can have a right relationship with God. Old Testament believers were never able to have the direct, open relationship that the Hebrew writer was trying to explain to the Jews at this time. All that changed when Jesus offered himself for the sins of mankind, when that veil was rent in the temple, when his blood was shed and he gave his life, gave a whole new way of access when he became the ultimate sacrifice for the sins of the world, for the sins of all mankind, your sin, my sin. What am I sacrificing today? You know, the first record of sacrificing or offering that we have in the Bible is Cain and Abel, and it says that Cain's offering was rejected. And Strong's would say that this offering here wasn't even required. It's something they were doing of their own free will. But somehow their offering portrayed their relationship with God, and Cain's offering was not accepted. Somehow his relationship with God was not what it needed to be. And I believe God is still looking for voluntary sacrifices, voluntary offerings from each of us today. Am I giving God my best? And is God accepting or rejecting what I am offering him? You know, the next time we have sacrifice mentioned in the Bible is when Noah gets off the ark. Is that a reason that the world was in such a bad condition? I don't know. But Noah gets out of the ark and he builds an altar and he starts sacrificing the animals that he had just kept alive and took care of for so long. And when you think about seven clean animals being the only seven of those animals, and then taking one of them and sacrificing it. We had talked about tithing last Sunday in our Sunday school lesson, and Noah was doing a lot more than tithing by offering one of those seven animals. Because then he was down to only six of that kind. But God was faithful. We still have animals today. They never got all. And God was faithful not only to Noah, but to each of us. And then we don't read much about sacrificing again until the life of Abraham. And you know, every time Abraham moved, he built an altar. It was very important to him. He took the time, he took the energy. And we aren't told what it looked like or how he did it or what he even made it out of, but he built an altar and offered burnt sacrifices on them to worship God. His worship was a very important part of his life. You know, he was very rich. He was very blessed materially. So you could say that his sacrifices didn't affect him near as much as what Noah's did. And yet, as you examine Abraham's life, everything he had was available to God. Was available for sacrifice. As you think about the story of Abraham in Genesis 22, about how they were childless until they were very old, yet he still believed God's promises to him. And I don't believe we can even fathom how precious Isaac was to Abraham. After he had been promised for so many years that he would have a son, and yet he still followed through when God asked him to sacrifice that Isaac. You know, we say today that if something sounds too good to be true, it probably is. And I think that's what Sarah thought, that this was probably never going to happen. It was too good to be true that she would ever have the son of promise that God had promised them. And yet one night, God came to Abraham and asked him to sacrifice his son, Isaac. The son that had been promised for so many years, the son that was a fulfillment of God's promises to them, the son that meant more to Abraham than any land or any animal or any earthly possession that he had. And Abram followed God's instructions and was fully committed to offer his most valuable possession back to God. You know, it says in the first verse of chapter 22 that God tempted Abraham, and that word there means tested. Not necessarily tempting as something wrong, but tested Abraham. And he tested him with the very thing that God was using to fulfill his promises to him. Why should we expect anything less? You know, I don't believe we will be called to offer our children as burnt offerings on a sacrifice somewhere. But what if God happens to ask me to give up something that I hold very dear to my heart? How much of what I have is available to God? Do I see what I have as a gift from God, or do I somehow feel that I have worked hard for it and now it's mine? And I believe that sometimes today God blesses us with things that he will later take away just to see our response to him. I believe that our response to our losses is an indication of where our true values are placed. As time moved on, we had the law given to Moses and the children of Israel, and there was many directives given about how to sacrifice, what to sacrifice, and why they needed to sacrifice. And I'm not going to go into all that, but you might be wondering what this even has to do with sacrifice of communication. And this is to help us understand that God is still looking for sacrifices. But today he is looking not for blood sacrifices, but for sacrifices of praise, thanksgiving, doing good, and communicating, as our verses there in Hebrews says. And the goal or the burden of the message is that we would be better communicators, that we'd be more effective communicators of what God has done for us, and that we understand what effective communication will cost us. The word communicate here, Hebrews 13, means to share, to interact, to be in partnership. How is communication a sacrifice? Who should we be communicating with? How should we be communicating? Number one, our highest priority for communication needs to be our communication with God. Our communication with our Heavenly Father is the most important responsibility we will ever have. Communication is more than just sharing what we know or what we have. It also involves listening. It involves obedience. And I was reminded of a story in 1 Samuel 13, and I'm going to read that story. 1 Samuel 13. Verses 1 through 14. 1 Samuel 13, 1. Saul reigned 1 year, and when he had reigned 2 years over Israel, Saul chose him 3,000 men of Israel, whereof 2,000 were with Saul in Michmash and in Mount Bethel, and 1,000 were with Jonathan in Gibeah of Benjamin. And the rest of the people he sent every man to his tent. Jonathan smote the garrison of the Philistines that was in Geba, and the Philistines heard of it. And Saul blew the trumpet throughout all the land, saying, "Let the Hebrews hear." And all Israel heard that, heard say that Saul had smitten a garrison of the Philistines, and that Israel also was had an abomination with the Philistines. The people were called together after Saul to Gilgal. And for a little clarification of this story, they had made Saul king, but they were still subjects to Philistine. They were still servants. They were under the Philistine rule this time. And what Jonathan did here was an act of rebellion. And the Philistines gathered themselves together to fight with Israel, 30,000 chariots, 6,000 horsemen, and people as the sand which is on the seashore in multitude, and they came up and pitched in Michmash, eastward from Beth-Aven. When the men of Israel saw that they were in a strait, for the people were distressed, then the people did hide themselves in caves and in thickets and in rocks and in high places and in pits. Some of the Hebrews went over Jordan to the land of Gad and Gilead. As for Saul, he was yet in Gilgal, and all the people followed him trembling. And he tarried 7 days according to the set time that Samuel had appointed. But Samuel came not to Gilgal, and the people were scattered from him. Saul said, "Bring hither a burnt offering to me, and peace offerings." And he offered the burnt offering. And it came to pass that as soon as he had made an end of offering the burnt offering, behold, Samuel came, and Saul went out to meet him that he might salute him. Samuel said, "What hast thou done?" And Saul said, "Because I saw that the people were scattered from me, and that thou camest not within the days appointed, and that the Philistines gathered themselves together at Michmash, therefore said I, the Philistines will come down now upon me to Gilgal. And I have not made supplication unto the Lord. I forced myself, therefore, and offered a burnt offering." And Samuel said to Saul, "Thou hast done foolishly. Thou hast not kept the commandment of the Lord thy God, which he commanded thee. For now would the Lord have established thy kingdom upon Israel forever. But now thy kingdom shall not continue. The Lord hath sought him a man after his own heart, and the Lord hath commanded him to be captain over his people, because thou hast not kept that which the Lord commanded thee. You know, Saul here was relying on himself. He knew how to sacrifice. He had seen it done. But it wasn't his job. It wasn't his responsibility. But he was impatient. He was tired of waiting on Samuel to show up. And as you look at the story, you can kind of feel that Saul was in a difficult time. It says they had 3,000 chosen men as soldiers in his army, 2,000 with him, and 1,000 with Jonathan, his son. And it says there were 30,000 chariots from Philistines and 6,000 horsemen and people as the sand of the seashore. In man's eyes, there was no way they were going to win this battle. Saul forgot that God was on their side. And he was unable to follow the simple direction that Samuel had given him of waiting for 7 days. You know, the story here illustrates that it is possible to sacrifice without being obedient. And unfortunately, Saul's life has several more examples recorded of where he did that exact same thing. What about me? Can I sacrifice today in disobedience? Am I waiting on God in obedience? You know, worshiping God is part of communicating with God. Reverencing God is part of worshiping God, and worship will produce sacrifice. But sacrifice might not always produce worship. We had a message last Sunday on Phariseeism, where it looks right, but inside we know it isn't right. So how then can we communicate with God today? Worship Him. Praise Him with singing. Spend time reading His Word. Spend time in prayer. And how is any of that sacrificing? Singing, reading, or praying. Well, it all takes time. How do you spend any free time that you have? You know, each of us has 24 hours in a day. Some of that is spent sleeping. Some of that is spent working. Some is spent eating. But in here in America, it seems that there is a lot of free time that is available. An abundance of idle time. What do I do with that? I might get another job, make more money, and sacrifice time with my family. I might read a book. I might spend my free time on my phone. I seen a short video that asked the question, so you say you spend as much time with your Bible as you do with your phone. Which do you pick up first when you wake up in the morning? And you say, oh, my phone is my alarm. That may be, but what's your priority? Have you tried to read your Bible while you're brushing your teeth? What about while you're driving down the road? Is your Bible propped on your steering wheel? Are you getting text messages through the Word? How much of a priority is your Bible reading? You know, it takes time to communicate with God. Psalm 105:4 says, seek the Lord and His strength. Seek His face evermore. You know, face-to-face communication is the best communication there is. Do you see God's face as you're praying to Him? And I don't have scripture to back all this up, but can you see God's smile of approval as you're praying to Him? Can you see the disappointment in His face when you're confessing your sins to Him? Can you see the hope in His eyes as you're struggling through something? Can you see God's face as you're communicating with Him? That takes time. It takes sacrifice in order to have a prayer life where you are communicating with God. And there will be times when you will be like Hannah in 1 Samuel 1, praying and weeping and being in bitterness of soul because of your current situation in life. But in those times, we also need to take time to listen to God. Time to see how and where He will lead us out of our current situation. The sacrifice of communication becomes real in our prayer life. How much are you sacrificing? The next area of communication I believe we need to be sacrificing is our marriage. Sacrifice of communication in our marriage. How do I communicate with my spouse? Ephesians 5, verse 22 to 33. Ephesians 5, verse 22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave Himself for it, that He might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of water by the word, that He might present it to Himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So all men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hateth his own flesh, but nourisheth and cherisheth it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of His body, of His flesh, and of His bones. For this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall be joined unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife, even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And marriage here is used to describe the church's relationship with Jesus Christ. There are words used here like love, subject, submit, reverence, nourish, and cherish. You know, none of these things happen automatically. They all are the result of a deliberate choice, deliberate decision. And I'm fascinated by the idea of nourishing in a relationship. Because when you nourish something, it means to nurture it, to provide anything necessary for growth, for health, and for good condition. The verses here are saying that Jesus is nurturing the church so it is in good condition when He comes back for it. And husbands need to be nurturing their wives. I believe that Jesus understands the church infinitely better than a husband will ever understand his wife. But is it my goal to understand and nurture my wife? And the word cherish means to carry the idea of loving, caring, and protecting. And when you cherish something, you keep it close by. And I believe that if we are sacrificing in communication in our marriage, it will go a long way towards understanding each other. And the husband will fill his place in leading in the home. He will nurture his wife and family, and they will know they are cherished by the closeness that they experience. Next, I would like to think of sacrifice of communication in family life. Number three, sacrifice of communication in family life. The relationship of fathers and children. And I have a number of verses here in Proverbs that I'm going to read. Proverbs 3. Verse 12, Proverbs 3:12, for whom the Lord loveth, He correcteth, even as a father, the son in whom He delighteth. Proverbs 13:24. He that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. Proverbs 22, verse 6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. And verse 15 of chapter 22, foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Proverbs 29, verse 15. The rod and reproof give wisdom, but a child left to himself bringeth his mother to shame. And 1 Thessalonians 2, verses 10 to 12. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 10. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. As ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you as a father doth his children, that ye would walk worthy of God who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. Verse 11 there says, exhort, comfort, and charge. You know, as fathers, we have a responsibility to our children that will take our time and resources. And those last verses in Thessalonians are comparing Paul's relationship and communication with the church to a father's communication and relationship with his children. You know, it's not the church's job to raise my family, and I'm preaching to myself here. There are far too many fathers that think if the church doesn't say anything about something, they don't have to either. And I believe it comes back to the fathers not sacrificing enough in their own personal relationship with God the Father. I believe there's way too much emphasis placed on comforting and not near enough on exhorting and charging. And this is nothing to do with Elton's devotions on God being our comforter. But there's way too much emphasis placed on comfort and not enough on exhorting and charging. Teach your children to be responsible for their own actions. Teach them that there are consequences for wrong actions. The word charged here means to scourge or use a whip. And I found that fascinating that Paul was describing his relationship with the church as charging them. Adds a new dimension to a church leader responsibility. Am I filling the place that God has placed me in? Are you filling the place where God has placed you? The fourth area I have of sacrificing in communication is in our church family. Sacrificing and communication in our church family. 1 Peter 2, verse 4 and 5. 1 Peter 2, verse 4. To whom coming as unto a living stone, disallowed indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious, ye also as lively stones are built up a spiritual house and holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God by Jesus Christ. In the verses here, the church is compared to a building. A building that is built on Jesus Christ as a cornerstone and foundation. And you know, if you look at a stone building or a brick building, when every stone or brick is there, it looks complete, it looks sturdy. Looks like a safe place to be in. It looks structurally sound. But if you look at a building and there's stones missing or bricks missing, you wonder who takes care of that building. Who's in charge of it? Is anybody doing any maintenance? Does anybody care? And just like a physical building needs all of its parts, the church needs all of its members to participate in its services. You know, sometimes when we have prayer meeting here, it seems like there's a whole wall or two missing. And I would like to encourage each of us to prioritize church attendance, to prioritize church participation. And there's a blessing in that sacrifice that if you're not here, you won't receive. And it sounds simple, but I can't explain it any other way. I believe that as we sacrifice in communication, we can get to the point where we don't even realize it's a sacrifice because of the blessings that we receive in return. The blessings will so far exceed the cost in our desire to follow Christ that the sacrifice becomes natural. It will be routine, but it will never be old. It will never be boring because of the blessings we're receiving. What are you sacrificing for the blessings that you're receiving? Let's kneel for prayer. Our Father in heaven, we thank you this morning for this privilege that we can gather together, we can study your word. We thank you for being a God of comfort to us, a God of hope, a God of salvation. Lord, we pray for those who aren't here. We pray for those that have physical ailments. Pray for Brother Reed, that you would grant him relief from his pain and just be with him. We pray for those who also couldn't be here because of physical ailments. Pray for those who have family members who are unhealthy. Lord, we just pray that you would be with each member who isn't here this morning participating with us. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we pray that we would be offering sacrifices unto you.